Thank you, Kirk. Let's open our Bibles now to the Gospel of Mark 1, Mark chapter 1. We'll be drawing our study tonight from verses 21 to 39 of Mark 1. Let's hear God's holy word now. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick and with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Even they found him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. These words, O Lord, that we have read about the manifestation of Jesus in power and wisdom is thrilling. But I pray, O Lord, that we may avail ourselves, as many Galileans did, of Jesus, that we might come to know him as he intended for us to know him, not only in church, but in our homes and in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember when I was much younger than now, I might add. I was picking up a cup of coffee and a hamburger at McDonald's so that I could have lunch with someone at his work. And what I didn't realize or consider was that it isn't too smart trying to drive with a full cup of coffee on a motorcycle. I made sure the cap was on tight, but by the time I arrived there, the cup was half empty. And so I learned, didn't I? Well, anyway, there's a point to this, and that is I fear that frequently many of us come to church, and after we have learned and been filled by blessings in the church, by the time we get home, it's half spilled out. Or like dragging a bag of grain with a hole in the bottom of it, and by the time you get home, the grain is half gone. Now, this seems to be the case with many Christians, and why they don't grow as they ought, even though they faithfully come to church. They lose half the blessing. And there's a better way to solve this problem than other than putting a cap on our hearts. What we need to do is what was demonstrated here in Mark 1, how Jesus wanted to make himself known. If we read these verses that I just did, verses 21 to 39, we realize how Jesus did make himself known. He started out in the church, but also then he went to homes. And then he went to all those who were searching hearts. And today people are still searching for him, and they don't exactly know how to be filled. They don't know how or when or where they'd be searching for him. Suffering souls that ache to know him better, to be warmed by his healing hands and strengthened by his mighty voice, cleansed in heart by his Holy Spirit. They long for that. But when we look at what's available through the stresses and struggles of today's world, it seems as though they don't reach him somehow. What they are wanting, what they need, is the knowledge of God in Christ. We need to know how he can become the hub of our lives again, and how he can heal broken hearts and grant peace to the troubled, light to the confused, that in the words of Paul, we may know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. Well, Jesus makes himself known today the same way that he made himself known when he entered the world 2,000 years ago. He makes himself known in the church. And secondly, he makes himself known in homes. And thirdly, he makes himself known to those who search, to open hearts, in other words. So, first of all, he makes himself known in church, and we see verses 21 to 27 in this. And where did he go then? First, he went to the synagogue. That's where he went. Now, in Luke's account, his first account of Jesus going to the synagogue was in Nazareth, not Capernaum. But at that point, you see, in Luke's account, this was before he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, whereas Mark's account takes place after he had called Peter, Andrew, James, and John. So it's a different point in Jesus' ministry. Mark's gospel so begins with the story of Capernaum. That's where he called his disciples. And the synagogue then was there in Capernaum. And it was appropriate to begin in the synagogue there, since Mark 1:39 says that he regularly attended meetings there. So that's where he begins making himself known. It's the church. And the church is the first place to look for Jesus. But that's not enough. Jesus then taught him with authority of the word. Authority, not conjecture like the scribes were, not the intellectuals quoting others and coming to some conclusions where, as he says, I think this, I think that. He declares, thus saith the Lord, but I say unto you, which is the same meaning. The church in which the word of God is taught and commanded is the place to look for Jesus. It makes himself known in the thus saith the Lord. It makes himself known in the word of God. But that's not enough. Jesus himself then taught them that word in the synagogue. And we've already seen how he differed from the scribes and Pharisees. And they couldn't resist his counsel. The guards said in the Gospel of John, never did a man speak like this before. And then the demon that was in the synagogue at Capernaum, long hidden on a man who had been attending week after week, suddenly he was moved to cry out, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? We know who you are, the Holy One of God. All of these demonstrated that it was Jesus himself, not just church, not just Bible reading, but Jesus himself, where you will find life and fullness and what you're searching for in your hearts, the knowledge of God. And though Jesus ensured that he would be made known there, yet most of the people were amazed at his miracles more than they were really of him. He was a wonder worker, and they went to see the wonders, not himself. That's why he silenced the demons when they acknowledged and cried out that he was the Lord, that he was Christ the Messiah. He told them to be quiet. Why didn't he say, here, you hear people? These demons recognize me. Why not? Because they wanted the people to know him. He wanted them to look for him, not a marvel of power. As we learn in Matthew 11, it turned out that even though he began in his ministry revealing himself in Capernaum, in Matthew 11, it was a Jesus pronounced judgment on Capernaum for its unbelief. They asked, they studied the things, they watched, they brought the ill, they discussed miracles, but they didn't come to know Jesus in the church. Why not? Why did they not come to know him in the synagogue, the church? Because in order to know Jesus, we need to take him home with us. That's where they failed. And so after Jesus made himself known in church, then Jesus went on to make himself known in homes, as it's elaborated on in verses 29 to 31. And the question, of course, is then, do we carry him home like a cup of coffee on a motorcycle? And many of us do. Peter, it is common, in fact, because people having gone to church have the sense that they have fulfilled their Sabbath day's obligation. No wonder they don't grow then. Now, Peter stood out from the others. He set the precedent. He asked the Lord to come home with him there. He just asked him to come home with him there. Then it was found out that his mother-in-law was sick, and so he brought her for Jesus to heal. But the point was, that was the benefit of Jesus going into Peter's home. But Peter invited him home. This is an outward fulfillment of the message that he would read from Isaiah 61 in Nazareth, that the Spirit of God is upon me to heal the sick, etc., and free the prisoner and shine the light to those who are in darkness. And Jesus demonstrated it by healing this woman. I don't know exactly how she was sick, but he healed her and demonstrated that he was the one who he declared to be, himself to be. This was important. And it was a precedential because it was a personal invitation to a personal life, and Peter received a personal benefit by it. It's interesting that it was the demoniac had been coming to church week after week without ever feeling any discomfort. What a commentary is that of the state of the synagogue, that a demon could sit comfortably in this place of gathering of God's covenant people and never be discovered. Then when the demon cried out, "You Holy One of God," Jesus silenced him, as I said, because he didn't want people astounded and following after his miracles. He wanted them to know him and seek him out. And the best place to do that is not just in church, but in your private residence. So we must respond to his voice by inviting him as the Holy One of God into our personal lives, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, not in your church by religion. But you say, "I do invite Jesus into my home. I pray to him at home, like Peter." The difference is seen when we compare the singular concentration we have on Jesus in church compared to at home. In church, what's it like? We worship. We sing praises to him. We listen and we sit still. We shut out the world. Church is a giant closet. We're our own private and personal, even though we're gathered together. Hearts are exposed to the Holy Spirit and we listen. It's not that way at home, is it? With passing prayers and maybe brief devotions. Now, it's interesting. Some Roman Catholics have a practice in which they will procure the host, the bread, from the priest in the church. And they will take this host with them from the church after Mass, and then they will set it someplace in their home, maybe in a closet, maybe on a mantle. And every time they would pass the host, which is supposed to be the body of Christ, they would stop and bow and genuflect. And that was the way they brought Jesus home with them. Well, I hope you know better than thinking that that makes any difference. This ceremonial thing that is practiced at home might be nice to remind them that they are, in a sense, bringing church home with them. But are they really bringing Jesus home with them? There's a difference between bringing church home and bringing Jesus home. Peter brought Jesus home. And so when Jesus entered Peter's home, the same manifestation of authority that was seen in the synagogue was demonstrated before them in Peter's home, so that when he said, "Come out," the demon came out. When he said, "Be thou healed," she was healed. The same word of authority, church and home. So the questions we need to be asking ourselves is, do I hear his voice in the word at home like I do at church? Do I feel moved to sing to him at home like I do at church? Some of you might be a little embarrassed. I found that when I mow the grass, that's the best time for me to sing. While on the riding mower, nobody can hear. It helped develop my voice too. And is my mind filled with his thoughts at home, like it is focused in church? Some people are like perfume bottles without any perfume. We still smell the scent where it was once filled, that bottle. But is that all of Jesus that is left in our hearts? So many distractions, so many responsibilities, stresses drain us empty of all but the scent itself. And that's the problem of why we can't experience Jesus or grow in the faith at home like we do at church. There are so many now problems. This needs to be handled now. It demands attention from Christ, and it tears us away from Christ. So that because they're so close, Christ then is more distant. We haven't learned to live our whole lives inside out where he's living, in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our lives, bringing home from church what we lived and then bringing it out in our home. Instead, the fact is we live from the outside in when we go home. We lose Jesus in the shuffle. And then what? Problems get us tense and tied up. We wait for each next external circumstance to react to. And then we call on Jesus from somewhere out there to come and help us. But he's not there in the same way as at church. That's living from the outside in. When we're in church, we're from the inside out. So we should be at home. And when we invite Jesus into our personal lives, then he is there with our problems, not as a physician to help our problems. Just as he was with Peter, he was in his home when Peter brought his mother-in-law. We should remember the important verse, Isaiah 26:3. I told myself this over and over and over when I was in the hospital, especially when that less than sane man was in the bed next to me, spouting off all night. Isaiah 26:3, do you know it? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And I would say that over and over to myself. You've heard of Brother Lawrence. He was a lame dishwasher. He once wrote these words. Oh, Practicing the Presence of God, by the way, was the book that he wrote, or book compiled of his letters and observations. He once wrote, quote, "For me, the time of action does not differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are calling for as many different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as when I'm upon my knees." Oh, to aspire to that blessed state of mind. So let's beware what we expect our worship in church to be our basic resource of Christ, and then assume that that's going to carry us home to live off of. What we receive in church, we must carry home, but then enlarge upon in our personal lives, or we will suffer unmet spiritual needs. And our children watch us, and they learn. And they learn Jesus is the same in everyday life as he is at church. Mom and dad aren't different at home as they were in church. And they learn, indeed, what the difference between hypocrisy and true faith is. That's because their parents invite Jesus home as he is at their church. And there's a third way besides the church and at home that Jesus makes himself known, and it covers all. It is to those who search. It is to those who search, verses 32 to 39. Now, I know you've said, I've tried to invite him, but it doesn't last, I forget. Is it supposed to be so hard? It doesn't work. I believe everything you've just said, but it doesn't work. Well, look to the ones who were blessed at Capernaum. Who were they? Those who merely asked him home after church? No, these are the ones, it says in verse 32, who came to Jesus at night. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. They were the ones who came to Jesus early in the morning, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed a solitary place, and there he prayed, and Peter said, "Peter, people are already looking for you." They somehow dragged their sick for healing. They maintained control of the demoniacs to bring them to Jesus. They launched out into the desert to follow his teaching. Is it supposed to be hard? Yes, it is. The name Israel means he struggles with God. The name given Jacob as he wrestled with an angel all night for a blessing, and he was injured for it. Well, we are the true Israelites, the spiritual true Israelites, grafted into Israel. And this life is intended to be a probation. This life is not a vacation. So then how do we seek him? The place to begin our search at home is in our devotional life. As people sought Jesus diligently, no matter what the inconvenience, we need to do that daily. Always read his word. Listen for some healing message in your life. Ask for him to give you wisdom and guidance continually. Memorize a key verse or phrase and say it prayerfully throughout the day to remind you, like I did Isaiah 26:3. But if I asked you to share what special message God showed you, what would you say? How has he been teaching you? Well, I present to you evening praise. There is a point in this service every week in which we have a time to share. What is comprised of the time to share? Needs to pray for, intercessions, even giving thanks, I acknowledge. But how much of Jesus do we bring of ourselves into this service to say what Jesus has taught me, what I have learned, how the Lord has blessed me, and indeed how he has answered our prayers? This is a demonstration of those who are not looking for the miracle, those who are not astonished by the power of Jesus, those who trust him to solve their problems, the Jesus that's outside that you try to bring in. I want to hear in the evening praise how the Jesus on the inside can be brought out. What he means to you, your heart, your affections. Our great encouragement in all this is we know that Jesus still makes himself known in church, in homes, and in those who truly search for him. We now know he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And what rewards he gives, he does even to this day. He heals the lameness of our hearts. He delivers us from the snares of the devil. He sends light to our minds that are spinning in doubts and darkness. How diligently do we apply what we bring home from church? It's like a precious seed, as I've said, in a garden shop. But check this. The seed, no matter how precious, is useless if brought home and left in the bag. We must then plant it in the soil of our hearts and then diligently weed the soil and till it and water it till we see the plant spring up green and vigorous. So now, brethren, Take this word home with you and plant Jesus deep into your hearts, that he might be as fully in your hearts and in your thoughts at home as he is here now in church. Let's pray together. Lord, you sought us out. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that seeking and saving all involved your self-sacrifice on the cross, so you might gather us together in your fold. Now, O Lord, we pray that you will teach us to seek you too. Seek you indeed by coming to church prepared to worship and receive your word, but also seek you by bringing you home again. We pray, O Lord, that the closet will get more use than it used to. And in that prayer closet, we may indeed come to know you more and more deeply. And this we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.